Good morning, everybody. So I've been teaching a series called The Meaning of Life, and we are going to be wrapping it up today. And there is much rejoicing. Yay! No Monty Python fans? Seriously? Wow. Who? Dan just said who. I got to share a story about Dan. We were in men's group a few weeks ago, and we were talking about famous people that we've had a run-in with or seen or saw in an airport or whatever. And Jesse shared that I think you had seen or John Wayne or something like that.
Walter Brennan, too,
but John Wayne. And Dan said, who? And he wasn't kidding. It hurts my heart, and it makes me feel really, really old. Because all of the newest musical artists, if you can call that music, I don't recognize any of them. It's like, who? Oh, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. Who? No, it's not music, people, just so you know. It's terrible. But he didn't know who John Wayne. He had heard of John Wayne, but he didn't know who he was. Please pray for Dan. And really pray for Beth. So I would like to actually share a little bit about Dan and Beth. You all know that they took on a little one. Rylan.
Yeah.
Rylan, 10 months old. And so they are foster parents. And they got a phone call. And this Wednesday, is that when you pick up the girls? So they agreed to take on two sisters who are 4 and 6 or 5 and 6. And so they get them on Wednesday. And then they got another phone call. And it seems that the 5 and 6-year-old girls have two sisters as well, who are 8 and 13. And they asked, will you take them on? And they said yes. So they're going from 1 to 5 really fast. And so they really, really do need your prayers, because their life is about to get absolutely chaotic, but in an awesome way. Amen? Thank you for doing that. All right, so we're going to wrap this up today, the meaning of life. And we all have our own ideas, and everyone has their own idea what the meaning of life is. But actually, between the first page of this book and the last page of this book is really the meaning of life. It's what it's all about. Why am I here? Why am I here on this earth? Often people say, well, you just need to find your purpose. Well, guess what? God has a purpose for each and every person that he ever created. And when he created everything, he created mankind differently. We are special to him. And he wants nothing more than to have a relationship with us. Adam and Eve screwed it up big time. You know what? I would not want to be Adam and Eve in heaven. Because everyone that dies goes up to them and says, you had to screw up, didn't you? I can see, we used to call them jump parties, where you just pile onto one person. I think there's a lot of jump parties in there, especially for Adam. Just saying. But he did. He created us, and when they disobeyed him, we were separated from him. So God made a way. God had a plan to bring them back together, to make man right in his eyes. And he established the Levitical system. And he says, I am willing to let the blood of animals pay for your sins for a while. They couldn't take them away, but it would cover them up for a while. So he established the Levitical sacrificial system, And then he said in Jeremiah 31:31, he said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah." A new covenant, not one that is handed down on stones on the Mount Sinai, but a new covenant. And he says, "I will write my laws in their minds and upon their hearts." It's going to become personal. It's moving from external to internal. God always said, "I want to dwell with my people." And he says, "With the new covenant, I will dwell in them." There's no more use. There's no more use for the tabernacle or the temple, because God dwells in us. Amen? It says that our iniquities have separated us from God. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 1, 3, and 4, it says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And then we read in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." That was the new covenant. He says, "No longer are bulls and goats going to die. I am sending one final sacrificial lamb." And that was Jesus Christ. And because he was without sin, because he was righteous, he was able to do that. Jesus didn't just cover our sins, he took them away. He gave us his perfect record, and we gave him our rotten records. And he was willing to exchange that so that we could be reunited and reconciled with our Creator. Amen? So he came, Jesus basically came to carry out his Father's plan. The plan that he had before the beginning of time, Jesus came to fulfill that. And when he did, he said, "Follow me. Follow me." That was the call. And that call goes out to everyone, because it says that God does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to everlasting life. Everybody. So that call goes out to everyone who has ever breathed. It includes you, and it includes me. And that call was not just a call to his Father's kingdom in eternity. That call actually was also for here on earth. In our daily lives, we are called. We are called to be sanctified. We are called to be set apart. We are called to live a life different than the world, because God has called us out of the world. So when Jesus said, "Follow me," he promises that we will have a life, and that life abundantly. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he gives us eternal life, one that we will never perish. When Jesus says, "Follow me," we will never walk in darkness. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he promises to equip us with everything that we need to do his Father's will. When Jesus leads you somewhere, sometimes he will lead you into places where all you can do is rely on him. We will go through things. God has given us talents to use and gifts to use at our disposal for the blessing of other people. And we use those to our utmost, but sometimes he will lead you into a situation that you aren't equipped to handle. And that's when he says, now you need to follow me. Now you need to call on me. And he says, when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. When we do it from here, he doesn't play hide and seek. He doesn't play games with his children. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we see that meaning of life. And to the point where we're at right now is all about God. Is it not? It's his handiwork. It's how he started things, what he put into motion, his plan, how he has brought it to fruition to this day. And to every call, there must be a response. That's where we are now part of the equation. The choices that we make in our own lives on a daily basis depend upon our response to the call, follow me. Does it not? So we're going to take a look at a few responses through the scriptures. And this is Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 54. And this is right after Stephen's discourse at Pentecost. And he gets up and he just lays out the what God has done and the plan that he had. And he basically, and he's giving this to Jews. And he's basically saying, you guys have failed to see the fruition of God's plan. And he goes on in verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked people. Yikes. That's not a good way to win your crowd, is it? If I came up here and the first thing that came out of my mouth was, you stiff-necked people. But that's what he says. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? And if you go through and you read about the prophets in the Old Testament, nowadays, I believe that God still has prophets. But I also believe that there are a lot of people out there calling themselves prophets that have no idea what they're talking about. And these prophets like to be the center of attention. They like to be doted over. They like to be paid for their services. And if you went into the Old Testament and actually studied what the prophets went through, you wouldn't want to be a prophet unless you were called to be a prophet. Because they suffered. They often had to act out or take upon themselves the sins of the people. And they were mostly rejected by all of the Jews. So it's not, it's to flippantly say that, oh yes, I'm a prophet. Well, are you really? We've had a lot of people who have followed false prophets. It says in Deuteronomy, if someone prophesies in my name and what they say does not come to pass, I did not send that person and have nothing to do with them. A prophet has to be 100% accurate in order to be a prophet of God. Period. Once they give one false prophecy, out the door. And this is according to God's standards, not mine. But we have had a lot of people, some people in the church that have followed false prophets to the point where they left the church because I called them out and I said, no, no. Deuteronomy says they have to be 100% right. Well, you know, like, no. It's written in God's word. Have nothing to do with them. And don't base your doctrine on what they say. It says that in end times, in the last days, people will follow false prophets. So how do you know if they're false? You get out the Word of God and you see what it says. Because God is not going to contradict Himself. So be like the Bereans when Paul showed up. And they got out the scriptures that they had. And they said, okay, dude, start talking. We'll see if you're real. And they backed up everything that he said in the scriptures. And they got to the point where they said, yep, definitely from God. Unfortunately, today, that is not a very popular practice in the church. But it's very clear on what we are supposed to do with those prophets and how we are to act. That was kind of a side trail. Sorry about that. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it. And then it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. You ever had anybody that you shared the gospel with get a little angry with you? I have. That is a person who says no to the call. Jesus says, follow me. This is an emphatic no. I don't believe that you are who you say that you are. That is their response. It is a valid response. It is one that happens a lot. But it is an emphatic, absolutely no. I refuse to believe this. Orthodox Jews to this day still do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, even though he's checked so many messianic prophecies from the Old Testament. But God says, I will touch their heart and I will bring them back to me in the end days. But sometimes Orthodox Jews want absolutely nothing to do with Christians or Messianic Jews. They're emphatic. And the answer is, the response is no. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. The call, follow me. The response, okay. Yes. They didn't bargain. They didn't ask, well, what's your background? What do you stand for? You know, no, they trusted Jesus then and there. And they followed him. Even when they questioned him, they still followed him. The answer was yes. So let's look at a few other options. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. The answer here to follow me, the response was yes, but. Yes, I'll follow you, but let me go take care of this. Yes, I'll follow you, but Junior has soccer. Come and follow me. Yes, I will, but I'm still young and I want to live my life my own way. We all have yes, buts. Every single one of us have yes, buts. You see, we want God on our terms. Anybody ever eaten at, used to be called Hop Jacks, now it's Hop and Drops in the Mall? Oh, it's so good. You're missing out. Seriously, none of you have eaten it? Oh, you're too lazy to raise your hand. Well, my daughter Stephanie used to work there, and we started going there to eat quite a bit, and they have. Now, if any of you get easily offended by words, it's on the menu this way. But it's called Kyle's Damn Good Sandwich. And it is. And I love it. And then I get the tater tots with it instead of the fries. Oh, so good. But when I order it with chipotle mayo on the side. Because sometimes when you get chipotle mayo, it's more mayo than chipotle. And then other times, you get more chipotle than you get mayo. So it's got a little more kick. Well, I like to be able to control my kick. So I order my chipotle mayo on the side. Unfortunately, a lot of people like to order their God on the side. Yes, I want him, but I'd want him on the side so that I can control how much God I have in my life. And that is not a good response. That's a yes, but. Yes, but I'll take my God on the side, please, because I want to be able to control my life. I want to be able to control my intake of God. And we become yes, but Christians. Give me my God, but give me him on the side. Now, I recommend that you all go and order the Kyle's Damn Good Sandwich. But don't order your God on the side. All right, we're going to look at Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, and then honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Then you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. He said, "Good teacher, what do I lack?" And Jesus' response was this. Go ahead and show the commandments, Kim, please. Jesus' response was, honor your father and your mother, do not murder, do not commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, and do not covet. And his response was, I've kept all of these since I was a boy. You see, those final six commandments have to do with man's relationship with other men, mankind. When I say man, I mean mankind, people. It is how they interact with others. Honor your father and your mother. Do not murder someone else. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. These are civil commandments. These are commandments that say this is how you are to act as a person on earth. And he says, I've done all of these things since I was a kid. What is his response, really? I'm a good person. That's exactly what he says. I am a good person. When it comes to my relationships with other people, I am a good person. Do you know how many people I've heard tell me, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person? They're saying, I am good in good relationship with other people. I am fine when it comes to being civil. I am a good person. Therefore, I am going to get into heaven based upon my ability to get along with other people. He might as well have said, I deserve to go to heaven because of my works. Is that not what he's saying? So what is Jesus' response? This one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. Jesus says, okay, you're doing great on the bottom six. But what does he do? What about the top four? Do you have other gods before him? Yeah, money. Do you have any idols? Yeah, money. Do not take my name in vain. Now, I grew up Catholic and I was always taught that this means don't swear. Don't swear. I do not believe that that is what that is talking about. As I studied it in the Hebrew, what that is actually saying, do not take my name in vain, means do not take my name upon you and then live your life however you want. Because you are taking my name in vain. Does that make sense? So he's claiming to be a good person. He's taking God's name in vain. So he says, I'm really good on 5 through 10. And Jesus says, how you doing on 1 through 4? How you doing on your relationship with God? See, all your relationships here on earth, you're doing good. But what about this? Because this means more than this. Jesus is calling him out and saying, how's your relationship with my Father? And he says, I want you to get rid of your idols. I want you to stop having gods above our Heavenly Father. I want you to stop taking his name in vain. And his response is, what? No. He says, no. He says, yes, but. And Jesus says, no buts. No buts allowed. It's all or it's none. And he says, I can't do that. And he walks away sad. And there's no record of Jesus going after him and saying, oh, wait a minute. You know, you're doing so good on part of them. That's good enough. Nope. He says, this is the deal. The guy said, let's make a deal. Jesus says, no, this is the deal. The one thing that you lack is your relationship with the Heavenly Father. And that is way more important than how you act civilly with other people. Amen? Amen. Finally, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This is, to me, this is probably the most terrifying scripture in all the Bible. It says, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly what? I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He's talking to people who believe that they are a part of his church. Is he not? And what is their response? See, this is the day of the Lord. This is when everyone has a reckoning and stands by themselves before God. Everyone is going to do that. And these people are standing there, and they said, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? First of all, they got a pronoun problem. Because you don't stand before God as a group. You stand before God as a single individual. They should have said, I did this, I did that. But they used we. They were a part of a group that were doing incredible things. But God says, I never knew you. You might have been there every Sunday. You might have been there casting when other people were casting out demons. You might have been there doing this. You might have been there doing that. But I never knew you. Their focus is here, and it should have been here. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. These people thought that they were in good standing with God. They lived their lives believing that they were okay. And what's interesting, the reason that you know that they did not know God and he did not know them, because they start listing off all their good deeds. What is it again? They're relying on their works. Instead of standing before him and saying, I can only enter into your presence because of your righteousness and your glory. And nothing I have that I can offer can pay the penalty for the sins that I have committed. Instead, they start listing their good deeds. Oh, I did this. We did that. We did that. Da, da, da. I taught Sunday school. I went to church every week. I was a good person. And that doesn't get you into his kingdom. He has set the rules. They are set in stone, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not. They're his rules. We play by his rules. The problem is we want to play by our rules. And when we do that, we may end up in front of our Heavenly Father saying, Lord, Lord, they thought they were okay. In some ways, it's more of a tragedy than the people that flat out reject him. They know what they're going to get. These people expected differently. And my guess is these people had been taught, you're okay. It sounds like there wasn't a whole lot of scripture going on. There was a lot of the show stuff going on. But they thought they were all right. The wealthy young man thought he was all right. But it is all about that relationship with him. Because if you don't have it, I don't care how good of a person you are. If you don't have this, there will be a reckoning. And that is terrifying to me. Please stand.
The meaning of life is to follow God and serve God. The Bible says that all things were created by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. And that means each and every one of us. We were created to bring him glory, to serve him and follow him with all of our hearts. And the beautiful thing is he does give us this call. He calls us to himself. And my question this morning would be, have you responded to that call? Have you responded to the call of Jesus? Because if you're in this place today, he is calling you today. It reminds me of a couple years ago at summer camp. We do this high ropes course, and the students navigate all these obstacles. And there's this one in the middle of it, and it's called the Leap of Faith. And we had a student that got stuck on the Leap of Faith. He just couldn't get himself to go over. And I won't say Memphis's name to protect him. He was probably up there for like 20, 30 minutes, and he just wouldn't take that step. He wouldn't take that jump. And then he finally did it. And it's a good picture of our faith. When we're called, we're stuck on this platform. Are you going to be stuck on this platform, or are you going to answer the call of God and take the leap of faith to jump into a relationship with him? And that's the thing. We have to jump in because he wants to have all of us, every part of us, not just a little bit, not 90%, not him on the side. He wants all of us. So how are you going to respond to the call this morning? Are you going to answer the call? If you've never responded to that call, I would encourage you today, find someone that you trust. Find a Christian, a pastor, one of us. If you want to say yes to Jesus today, because we would love to pray with you and talk about next steps. Amen? We're all called. We all have a purpose. Each and every one of us has a purpose in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you give us a meaning to life. You didn't just leave us here in nothingness. You didn't just set the world in motion and forget about us. You gave us all a meaning, God. And I thank you that you choose to use us for your purposes, for your plans, Lord. You don't need any of us, but you choose to use us. God, you are so good. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who feels that tug of the Holy Spirit on their heart, who feels you calling them into a relationship with you, I pray that you would give them the strength to take that leap of faith and say yes to your holy name, to trust in you, Lord, because we know that when we say yes to you, you give us an abundant life that is found in your name, and that our names are written in your book of life, Lord, so that when we get to the end times, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. You would show us your plan, your purpose, what you want for us to do in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you bless us now in your presence. Amen.